Consciousness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio
and Urban Family Talk.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Good evening and welcome to this Wednesday edition of the Hamilton Corner here in American Family Radio. We have the full J-Squared contingent here with Mr. Tross, Jason Tross on my right, Jeff Reed on my left, Hannah in the screening room, and we are ready to rock and roll with today's program. First, I want to remind you that we are soliciting listener testimonies. That is where those of you who listen to this program, the Hamilton Corner, or those who listen to the entire slate of AFR and Urban Family Talk programming, we welcome you to let us know what you think about the program. Has it blessed you in a particular way? Has it encouraged you in any particular way? I know I get all sorts of encouraging notes, emails, letters, all kinds of things. I wish I could respond to every single one. I'm trying to work out a system to get better at responding to all of that. But we'd like to invite you to participate by providing your listener testimony. What we will do with that is you would call a number. I'm going to give it after I finish this explanation and leave the equivalent of a voice message. Once you leave that voice message, you wouldn't be calling into the radio to come on live. You would just be leaving the equivalent of a voice message. Our creative team would get that message and produce it to use in our upcoming Share-a-thon. The fall Share-a-thon will be October 16th, 17th, and 18th. And so we are inviting you to add your voice to the voices that will be operating in the Share-a-thon. Okay, so the phone number, if you want to provide that your listener testimony, the phone number to call is 877-876-8893. Once again, that number is 877-876-8893. As we've done this in the past, we've gotten tremendous response in the past, and so we are prayerfully hoping for that response to continue. Again, if you want to lend your voice and provide a listener testimony to share how the Hamilton Corner, American Family Radio, and Urban Family Talk has been a blessing to you, we welcome you to provide that at 877-876-8893. All right. We will now do what we always do. If I sound like Pinky in the Brain, what do we do? What are we going to do tomorrow, Brian? What do we do every day, Pinky? Not take over the world. We're going to turn to the scripture. That's what we're going to do. Why do I do that? It's critically important that we don't just try to rush into whatever's happening around us, but we allow the word of God to guide our engagement. So the desire is to hold up the issues of the day in light of what the scripture has to say about them. And before we get to, as I like to say, the foolishness du jour, we have to fix our minds on the word of God. So today, we're going to Revelation chapter 21, verses 5 through 8. Jason say, uh-oh. Revelation chapter 21. This is a Hamilton Corner public service announcement scripture time today. This isn't new information at all, but this is a reminder, and I pray that it strikes you the way that it struck me. Yes, Revelation chapter 21, verses 5 through 8. So just to put this all in context, this is Revelation, which is written by the Apostle John, that church history teaches us he was the oldest of the apostles. He lived the longest of the apostles. He became such a threat to the authorities at the time that they had sentenced John to capital punishment. For what crime, you might ask? Oh, just being a threat to the crown. And so in sentencing him to capital punishment, we learned from church history that John was sentenced to die through being boiled in oil. There's just one small problem. You know, there's this God that we serve, you know, that though you may put Hebrews in the fiery furnaces, they don't get burned or smell like smoke or have the clothes singed. And, oh, there's a fourth in the fire that kind of looks like the Son of God. And then you throw a Daniel into a den where these voracious beasts, Mufasa and them, supposed to get a hold of him. But something happens that Mufasa just don't seem to be hungry tonight. What a coinkydink. You Old Testament, you say, oh, then we go to John. Hey, we're going to put this boy in a boiling pit. That makes me think about the movie Mandingo. Remember they tried to boil Mandingo? Some of y'all may not have seen that movie. I saw Mandingo. They put John in the oil. He doesn't boil. When they say, oh, well, I guess we have to send him to solitary confinement. And so they banish him to the Isle of Patmos. And it is on the Isle of Patmos we are taught through that John receives this revelation. And he pins it down. He writes it down for our benefit. And where we are in chapter 21 is where the scripture talks about the new heaven and new earth, which is why I like to remind people, don't forget that our ultimate dwelling place where we will dwell with our King, the King of Glory, is right where we are right now. It's just that the elements in the earth will be transfigured. They will be refined by fire. But as the scripture says, the dwelling place of God will be with men. And it is in the description of this new heaven and new earth that the Lord, through John, gives us this wonderful peek into all the all-surpassing glory of our God, but also something that I believe that should be a pretty strong warning for you and I. So here we go. Revelation 21, verses 5 through 8. And let me say this as well. The book is called Revelation, not Revelations. There's no S there. The Greek word there, apokalypsis, where we get our English word apocalypse from, quite frankly. But it's the revelation. It's the revelation to John. But here we go, verses 5 through 8. And he who was seated on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. Also, he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. The one who overcomes, or the one who conquers, will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. Verse 8. But as for the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, as for murderers, the whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. Got quiet on this radio all of a sudden. First, I want to say in verse 6, when it refers to it is the Lamb seated on the throne who says, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega. That is a clear drawing on a common knowledge of the Greek alphabet, because the first letter in the Greek alphabet is Alpha and the end is the Omega. So it's not a statement giving a shout out to Greek societies. I do a whole thing about fraternities and sororities and all of that. Bad idea. Demonic idea. But it's a reference to the alphabet, literally saying, I am the A and the Z. I'm the beginning and the end. I am the author and the finisher. In other words, it's a statement to the supremacy and the preeminence and the omnipotence of our God. But then it goes down and it talks about the heritage that is made available for the one who overcomes. The immediate communication to you and I should be there. If this commendation is provided for the one who overcomes, or as the ESV says, to the one who conquers, there's probably going to be something that rises that we're going to have to overcome. You don't get referred to as an overcomer unless you had to come over something, right? You don't get referred to as a conqueror unless there is something to be conquered. That statement in and of itself should remove the cobwebs of any thought that the life of the believer is supposed to be this flowery beds of ease to he who overcomes. And then he refers to the fact that his heritage, he will have this heritage, that I will be his God and he will be my son. But then there's a contrasting phrase mentioned next. But. And the but shows what is the ending for the whoremongers. A lot of people don't like talking these Bible King James words, whoremonging. I say it all the time that if our only objection to violations of God's standards for human sexuality are pointed towards those who violate in a homosexual context, we have not read the Bible, nor are we applying it, because the Lord condemns whoremonging just as he condemns homosexuality. You see, fornication and adultery are violations of God's standard for human sexuality as well. Let me keep going. But you notice whoremongering, murderers, the abominable, and the unbelieving are all listed alongside of who? The cowardly. The cowardly. Isn't it amazing that, and this is John quoting what he's heard from the occupant of the throne, who is not subject to term limits, who is not subject to any sort of veto or election. He is the one who is, who was, and who is to come, whose the government shall be on his shoulders, and he shall reign for all eternity. He is the one who puts the cowardly on the same line as the murderers and abominable, which should be, as I stated, a public service announcement. If we are going to be among those who are named among the overcomers, we should get used to the fact that courage is intrinsic to biblical fidelity. To say it in another way, Christianity, following the Christ, is not for the faint of heart. It requires courage. It requires boldness. It requires resolve. It requires the capacity to say that if 99 go over the fence and hop off the bridge, I am not going to go. It requires the capacity to recognize the fact that he has made me a peculiar people. That means I'm not made to fit in. That means I'm not made to go along to get along. That we have to come to the place where we not only get comfortable, but we revel in it. We get sit down in that chair and we get comfortable in saying that God has made me to swim against the tide. It is unfortunate that we find people who profess to be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, that they bend and contort themselves and genuflect all to try to make themselves more and more acceptable to the world. Listen, Jesus said, they hated me. How would you expect them to love you? Jesus told us, be careful when all men speak well of you. Be careful when your Christianity can fit neatly into the cultural expectations of the day. We're called to stand out, man. Not because we're trying to bring attention to ourselves. It's because as the world goes crazier and crazier and darker, the brightness of our rising is supposed to shine all the more. To be frank, I am grieving over the fact that we are having these intra-ecclesiastical disputes and things of that nature. And the primary reason is because we're letting the world tell us what we should be thinking about. You know, I was talking to a friend of mine in private. I said, man, you know, one of the biggest things that gives me a headache about this whole conversation about social justice and all this other kind of stuff is that none of this would have happened if Hillary Clinton would have won the election. Do you remember anybody talking about social justice in the eight dark years under former President Barack Obama? Nobody was talking about social justice. And had Hillary Clinton won the election, nobody would be talking about it now. But we let the world and the lying media get us all whipped up into a frenzy around false narratives and around lying foundations and lying inferences built on those false narratives. And now the church is up in arms to where we're biting and gnashing at one another, saying, well, you're not following the gospel accurately if you don't embrace social justice. Well, you're not following the gospel accurately if you do embrace social justice. Man, foolishness. We don't need the world to tell us what we should stand on. The Bible is clear about justice. The Bible is clear about loving the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving our neighbors as ourselves. We don't need the world to tell us anything about social justice. What can they tell us about justice? Nothing. The Bible tells us wicked men can't understand justice. It's not that they don't understand justice. The Bible says they can't. They are incapacitated in terms of navigating justice as articulated by the King of Glory. Why? Because you can't get life out of death. So why would we allow ourselves to be forced into giving an answer or responding to a stacked table that has been established by people who hate God? Folks, to follow the king, courage is not optional. Courage is not an elective to be taken. This is mainline core curriculum requirements. In order to follow the king, we must be bold, because cowardice, you see the end according to Revelation chapter 21, verse 8.
Facebook's double standard. Hi, I'm Matt Staver with Freedom's Call. A West Virginia pastor whose ministry page was shut down by Facebook is fighting back. The ministry, which opposes homosexuality and abortion, had more than 225,000 followers on its Facebook page. The social media giant claims the page violated the site's community standards policy and promoted hate speech. Facebook even ignored death threats made against the pastor through the page. The threats came because he banned anyone who posted a rainbow flag emoji on the ministry's page. Then his mailbox, inbox, and even phone messages were inundated with threatening messages. As a result of Facebook removing the page, the ministry lost contact with a woman who was considering suicide. Now the pastor is fighting back with a lawsuit against Facebook. Our constitutional freedom should not be subject to left-wing organizations and groups seeking to silence us. Stay informed at Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org.
Imagine you're back to school shopping, and your little girl comes running from the restroom in tears, saying she saw a man in there. Sadly, scenes like this are playing out at Target stores across the country. Their policy is to allow men into women's restrooms and fitting areas. If some of us don't stand up and say this is wrong, what comes next? Protect your family and send Target a message by doing your back-to-school shopping elsewhere. Learn more and sign the Boycott Target Pledge at AFA.net.
Announcing the latest book from Dr. Robert Jeffress.
It's called Choosing the Extraordinary Life, God's Seven Secrets for Success and Significance. And, you know, it's a book about how to experience in the here and now what God has for you.
So your assignment today, people, is to go buy a copy of Robert's new book.
Choosing the Extraordinary Life by Dr. Robert Jeffress. Available now at afastore.net.
afastore.net, afastore.net. Yep. I'll say it again, afastore.net.
Right. Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. The left's smear merchants are all in high gear in an effort to destroy Brett Kavanaugh's reputation with a reprehensible assault on his character. They're using an unverifiable and false accusation of sexual assault from 36 years ago to sully his reputation. This allegation is slanderous, libelous, and defamatory. I do not hesitate to state that the Democrats are doing the work of the devil here. The word for devil in Greek, diabolos, literally means one who slanders or one who accuses. The Bible tells us in Revelation 12:10 that the devil accuses the brothers night and day. What to do? First, pray. This is intense spiritual warfare. Second, call your senator and urge him to vote for Kavanaugh. This is a battle we cannot allow Satan to win.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
Shining light into the darkness. This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner, where we are very calm and mild-mannered. I'm on one today, man. It's just unfortunate that the church has become so, how shall I say this? Despined, I'll say it that way. To where we're almost afraid of any type of and this is a generalization I'm making. I don't mean individual local assemblies, because I know that's not the truth. And I know the Lord well enough to know that not everybody has bowed their knee to Baal nor kissed his face. So this is a generalization. But we've gotten to the place where the body of Christ, generally speaking, is so concerned with impressing the world. For what? For what? It's almost like the Republican Party trying to make sure the mainstream media loves them. Cat daddy, it ain't gonna happen. It's just not going to happen. And not because I'm making an analogy. It's not going to happen because I'm saying it's not going to happen. The Bible has already told us. The world doesn't just consider Jesus to be somewhat objectionable. They hate the Lord. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, put this in perspective. What did Jesus do when he condescended in his incarnation? His first advent. He did nothing but go about preaching, healing the sick, you know, restoring prostitutes, restoring tax collectors, getting thieves to pay restitution, return money, raise the dead. He didn't do anything wrong. And guess what? They killed him for it. How do you think that your Facebook page and your bland, very vague self-help post is going to make the world love you if you profess the Lord Jesus Christ to follow him. It's not going to happen. Now, I'm not saying that should allow us to become callous toward the world, but what we should be is so consumed in worshiping and loving our King and following and obeying him, it doesn't matter if the world loves us or accepts us. The thing that drives our engagement, that compels us to do what we do, is the one who has commissioned us to do it. Not because of the people in the peanut gallery. Oh, man. And I thought Jason was, you know, somewhat a rigid person, but now that he's willing to completely abandon scriptural orthodoxy concerning human sexuality, now that he's willing to throw the entire book and the entire epistle of Romans, especially chapters 1 and 2, and he's ready to, he'll take Romans 1 and 2, and he'll take Genesis 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, he'll ball them up in the trash. Now Jason is the acceptable Christian. What did it cost Jason to become acceptable to us? Oh, he only had to get rid of, I don't know, large portions of the scriptural's doctrinal requirements. Now he's acceptable. So then the question would be, well, can Jason continue to be considered a Christian if he's got rid of so much of Christianity to become acceptable to you? Ah, so the reality is that there's no way for Jason to become acceptable to me as a Christian. In order for him to become acceptable to me, he has to become like me. I mean, can you smell what the rock is cooking is what I'm saying. They hated him. They didn't just consider him to be a less than acceptable alternative to the way we want to live. They hated him. They hated him. And all he did was love them. All right. Is that enough? Not enough? All I'm saying, I'll say it like John Wesley. All we need is a few people who love nothing more than the Lord and fear nothing other than disobeying him. All right. Foolishness du jour. Now, I went in quite a bit yesterday about this Kavanaugh situation, and I have more to say on that, but a little bit of, I guess you would consider this breaking news, that Chuck Grassley, the senator from Iowa and also the chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, has announced that they are going to proceed on September 25th, which is Tuesday, with continuing the confirmation process of Brett Kavanaugh, whether Dr. Ford testifies before the Senate committee or not. So he said, whether she testifies or not, we're not stopping this train. This train is going to roll, which I think is good, but I think it didn't go far enough. If you listen to this program, you heard me yesterday saying, using the scriptural admonition from 1 Kings chapter 3, when Solomon had the two prostitutes who presented to him the argument over the baby. There's one baby, two women, both having given birth within 3 days of one another. And the woman who brought the case to King Solomon was the actual mother. And King Solomon, having filled with the wisdom of God, was able to cut through the emotional appeals and even cut through the claims that the women made to motherhood and to focus squarely on what should have been the focus of everyone in the particular case, you know, for the sake of this conversation. The focal point should be the life of the child. The ancillary claims of the mother's as a relationship to the child is important, but they are not primary as we consider the life of the child. So Solomon, filled with the wisdom of God, said, bring your sword. And so yesterday I said we should apply that same, or more specifically, Senator Grassley should apply that same type of wisdom. What is the real issue here? The real issue are the proposed allegations and the incumbent concern of Dr. Ford receiving justice as a result of being able to confront her accusers and have her, I mean, not her accuser, to confront the person who allegedly violated her or attempted to violate her and to have him held accountable. So to do that, I suggested to Senator Grassley that he set a deadline of today. By end close of business today, some have said even shorter than I have, to give Dr. Ford the opportunity to accept the invitation to testify. Now, I do think that that was a very gracious offering. It was an offering made because obviously the Republican senators don't want to appear to be calloused and insensitive toward the allegations made by Dr. Ford. Should she not accept the invitation by close of business today, my recommendation was you go on with the vote as scheduled tomorrow. Senator Grassley has gone on record, put it in document, made public his invitations to have Dr. Ford offer her testimony in any way she wants. Private hearing, public hearing. Senator Grassley has even offered to travel, send his staffers to California to interview her there. To date, the only response we have gotten from Dr. Ford and her attorney, which, by the way, I don't know how many people know this, but her attorney is one of the a vice president of an organization that's funded by George Soros. Dr. Ford is herself an anti-Trump activist. I mean, these are just facts that are out there. The attorney for Dr. Ford has said they will not have her testify until there's a thorough investigation by the FBI. Now, there's several problems with that. First of all, is the fact that they initially offered to testify. A lot of people forget that. Initially, the attorney said, yes, Dr. Ford will testify. Now that the opportunity has been created and they've even delayed the confirmation vote for Judge Kavanaugh to allow her to testify, they now say, you know what? We want to put some additional conditions on the matter. Whereas when I said, using the Solomon's bring the sword wisdom, what was the wisdom of Solomon's bringing of the sword? Because he will unearth the true motivation of the parties to this particular lawsuit, if you want to argue it that way. The true motivations, for one, it was to protect and to have her child. For the other, it was nothing more than the deprivation of the other woman from having a child, which is why one said, yeah, cut him in half. None of us get to keep him. And the other woman said, nah, Solomon, I'd rather you let her keep the baby than for the baby to be destroyed. We don't want the baby to be destroyed. I believe, folks, we have witnessed the true objective of this 11th hour revelation or manufacturing, however you want to describe it. If it was really about Dr. Ford wanting to obtain justice for having been for the attempted violation of Brett Kavanaugh, which based on her own testimony, I don't even know if she sure it was Brett Kavanaugh, considering the inconsistencies and the vagaries in her statement. She doesn't remember when, where it happened. I mean, it's crazy. But I believe the reality of the true dilatory intentions have been revealed. Dilatory, I should have said delayed. Dilatory, that's a Louisiana legal term. The true objective was to delay the hearings. Why do I say this? Because for the lawyer to say that we will not testify until the FBI investigates, they are making that statement, just as I said yesterday, knowing full well that it's never going to happen. The first problem is that the FBI legally cannot just go investigating whenever and whatever they want to investigate. The FBI has said repeatedly, and they even reiterated today, that they have no jurisdiction whatsoever to investigate any of these allegations. The sole role that they have is checking the background of Brett Kavanaugh. Senator Grassley has indicated, the FBI has said, the extent of their role is to update their background check on Brett Kavanaugh to include the document alleging, including the allegations that Dr. Ford has made. After they include that, their role is to then present that to the senators for their consideration. All of the investigation that the FBI legally can do and all that they will do has already been done. So having the lawyer for Dr. Ford to say that they demand this investigation before she can testify, folks, that is nothing but a delay effort. Because as I said yesterday, their hopes, their goal is to try to delay the Kavanaugh nomination vote until after the midterm elections, because they are hoping and a wishing that they will regain control, if not at least the House of Representatives. At best, from their mindset, they want to regain control of the Senate, where they can completely stop Kavanaugh's confirmation and taking of the seat on the Supreme Court. And it's sad, folks, because the reality is, if they are successful in doing this, do you think you're going to have any good people that are going to want to serve in public office anymore? If you notice that there's a trend that when Republicans nominate candidates for the Supreme Court, they get mugged. Robert Bork, Clarence Thomas. They tried it with Neil Gorsuch, Brett Kavanaugh. But even in the most tense times, when much of the country finds Democrat presidents to be objectionable, you don't see any of this. As much as you had senators who disagreed with the worldview of Sonia Sotomayor and Elena Kagan, they both were confirmed by the Senate with over 80 votes. You didn't hear none of this. None of it. And I, for one, I think the Senate Republicans are being overly gracious in this particular case. I mean, it's not their fault that Dianne Feinstein had the letter for months and then decides, after she had the opportunity to question Kavanaugh about this under oath. I mean, seriously, do you think that would, if they believed these allegations, do you think they would have avoided the opportunity to question Kavanaugh under oath about them? You want to talk about the opportunity to maintain Dr. Ford's anonymity? They could have questioned him about these complaints. Questioned him about these complaints under oath. No, folks, because they don't really believe it. They don't really believe it. If they really believed it, they would have allowed the entirety of Kavanaugh's nomination from the day that President Trump nominated him. If you recall, President Trump nominated Kavanaugh on August 9th. Senator Dianne Feinstein had this letter as of July. As of July. Now, some who are more cynical than me may say, well, they had to allow Dr. Ford the opportunity to scrub all of her social media pages and all of the details of herself, her admitted prior indiscretions to be concealed. I'm not going to go into all of that because I don't think it's necessary to discuss the weightiness or lack thereof of this particular issue. But it's out there if you want to find it. And it looks bad for Dr. Ford. I'm just going to tell you those particular things. But they don't believe these allegations because if they did, she would have brought them out as soon as Brett Kavanaugh was named. At a minimum, the entirety of the hearings. Have we forgotten how they staged those protests during those hearings? What do you think the hearings would have looked like if they could have included protests along with allegations that Brett Kavanaugh allegedly did what Dr. Ford has accused him of? Are you kidding me, man? Folks, I hope with everything in me that we can see this for what it is. The fact that she's unwilling to come forward, in my estimation, it reveals that the true objectives here were to delay this vote. Now, if you doubt what I'm saying, that Dianne Feinstein didn't even believe it for sure, don't just take my word for it. Listen to her. Clip one, please.
It's really too bad that no one called her or called her lawyer. My understanding is she got emails. And this is a woman, and I really believe, who's been profoundly impacted by this. Now, I can't say everything's truthful. I don't know.
I can't say everything's truthful. I don't know. Perhaps that's why you waited to the last minute to drop this bomb. That though you're not sure of the truth of the allegations, you're not sure. But you want the entire wheels of the Senate judiciary confirmation process to stop, and you're not even sure, and you're the one who started this whole mess? Because they didn't believe it. They didn't. She specifically, DiFi, did not find it to be truthful enough for her to utilize this information during the confirmation hearing. So she waited until the hearings concluded, the vote was scheduled, and then say, oh, by the way, there's something else we want to share because we don't think you've heard enough information. This is bad, folks. This reminds me of that analogy that the entire political realm, the pole of political engagement in our country, that the home court is a Democrat home court, no matter what majorities the Republicans may have, no matter who may be in the Oval Office, the entire ball game is being played on a Democrat court. Though you have a Republican Judiciary Committee chairman, the Democrats are running the hearing. They're protesting, they're disruptive, they're obstructive, and it continues to happen. And if they are allowed to do this, my concern is that, one, legitimate claims of abuse will continue to go unheralded and uninvestigated, and two, that the entire process will be purged of good people. Because having witnessed this complete trashing of this man's reputation, what good person would say, hey, yeah, sign me up, for a judicial confirmation here.
80% of the time, an abortion-minded mother who views an ultrasound or sonogram of her baby will choose life. Here's the story of Candace.
The sonogram sealed the deal for me. My baby was like this tiny little spectrum of hope. And I saw his heart beating on the screen. And knowing that there's life growing inside, I mean, that sonogram changed my life. I went from just Candace to mom. Thank you to everybody that has given these gifts. You guys are giving more than money. You guys are giving love.
There are currently preborn centers which do not have an ultrasound machine. Would you sponsor a machine today? Dial pound 250 and say keyword baby. That's pound 250 and say baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com. Your love can save a life.
Good news. You are not stuck with your healthcare plan. Really. You have a choice, and it's a great one. It's called MediShare, and if you've heard about it and wondered what exactly it is, it's a way that people share their healthcare bills, and these are people who have a common faith, who want to be part of something beautiful that not only meets their healthcare needs, but the needs of others too, and it's people who love to save money, big time. MediShare members typically save $500 a month per family on their healthcare costs. That is a life changer for people. So this could be for you. Maybe it's what you've been looking for, a way to pay healthcare bills that's not only very smart financially, but it's even profound. MediShare is a nonprofit with 400,000 members nationwide who pray for and share with each other. So yes, you're not stuck. There's another way, and it could save you a lot. Hit *345 to find out how much you can save on your healthcare. Message and data rates may apply. That's *345.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. By all accounts, Judge Brett Kavanaugh has treated women with respect in his personal affairs and in the workplace. There's never been an allegation or rumor of indiscretion until just before the Senate judiciary was about to vote on his confirmation. If the accuser is to be believed, Judge Kavanaugh violently attacked a girl when he was 17 years old and then proceeded to live out a very normal, law-abiding, church-going life. Dr. Christine Blasey Ford told her story to Democrat lawmakers and to the Washington Post, but she refuses to tell her story to Congress under oath, where perjury is a federal crime. And now Democrats are lining up to say forcing Dr. Ford to testify would be unfair. One lawmaker said it's time for men just to shut up and do the right thing. In other words, the left wants to convict Judge Kavanaugh solely on the word of his accuser without so much as a fair hearing. That's what we call a kangaroo court, folks. I'm Todd Starnes.
The Hamilton Corner podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net and UrbanFamilyTalk.com. Back to the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk. We will open the phone lines this segment, so if you want to join the program, we'll take questions, calls, comments on our conversations about Brett Kavanaugh, on this delay tactic. Or if you want to talk about the scripture and the biblical diagnoses of the fact that the cowardly are named right alongside of the abominable, the whoremonger, the liar, you know, the murderer. They're named all together in Revelation 21, verse 8. So it's important to note that. So the number to call if you want to be a part of the program is 888-589-8840. The number again is 888-589-8840. Now, as the numbers are coming in, I had a bunch of audio that I wanted to get to. But as soon as Dianne Feinstein said that she didn't know if it was true or not, I mean, she was savaged by people on the left saying, What are you talking about, Dianne Feinstein? And so she's walked back those comments. But one of the wonderful things about the interweb is forever, ever, ever, ever. You said it. It's recorded. It's on record. They're saying, with hands on hips, we can't believe, DiFi, that you won't believe these allegations. Why would you hold such information back? And DiFi is telling you, without telling you, that, man, I didn't know if that was true anyway. So I'm trying to help you. So help me help you. Well, President Trump has been insisting, saying that he wanted to hear from Dr. Ford as well. And if that she wouldn't come forward, that would be unfortunate. I mean, you make these kind of allegations. Shouldn't you be willing to step forward on his way to investigate the damage in the Carolina areas? As he was going to his aircraft, President Trump was asked about that. And this is what he said. If you would play clip number two, please.
I think he's an extraordinary man. I think he's a man of great intellect, as I've been telling you. And he has an unblemished record. This is a very tough thing for him and his family. And we want to get it over with. At the same time, we want to give tremendous amounts of time. If she shows up, that would be wonderful. If she doesn't show up, that would be unfortunate.
That would be unfortunate. And I think he's doing the right thing. I mean, again, the Republicans are being extremely gracious and doing everything they can to allow her the opportunity to be heard. My concern is that they won't hold the line. Now, Chuck Grassley has said, well, we are going to continue this process on the 25th, whether she testifies or not. They've delayed the vote that was scheduled for Thursday. They were supposed to vote tomorrow. They've delayed that vote. And Grassley has not said that the vote will take place on the 25th. I wish he would have said that, because it's time. Well, let me say it this way. If the Republicans ever want to be respected, they need to stand their ground. That's why the Democrats were completely shocked when Mitch McConnell refused to hold a vote on Merrick Garland, because they were so used to Republicans folding. If Republicans fold now or continue to allow themselves to be bullied by the Democrats, they will lose all credibility, and you're going to have continued occurrences when things happen, when people like Chuck Schumer will laugh and snicker at the Republicans in private and say, for example, when this omnibus bill was passed, that we got more Democrat objectives funded in this omnibus bill passed with a Republican majority and a Republican president than we ever could have gotten if we were the majority. Because they believe, because government is their God, they believe no matter what, they should be running the show. So, you know, Senator Grassley, you've got to hold the line. I mean, you open the door, you've offered everything to allow Dr. Ford to have her say. It's up to her. And I do feel for her, because the letter said she wanted to remain anonymous, you know, and I feel like that the letter that made its way into Senator Dianne Feinstein's hands, she didn't originally send it to Dianne Feinstein. If what has been reported about this is true, she sent it to Representative Eshoo, the congresswoman in the House of Representatives, not to Dianne Feinstein. Maybe she never wanted to talk about this publicly anyway, which would underscore even further the lack of actual concern for Dr. Ford being displayed by the Senate Democrats. That though she didn't want to have anything to do with this, they're forcing her to. And so the results of this is that the Democrats can say, hey, they either are successful in their efforts to delay Judge Kavanaugh's vote, or they can continue to cast this cloud over him to say, well, you know him. He's the rapist judge. Folks, that's what's going to happen, because here's the reality. Here's the reality. We've already seen it. Before there were any allegations, they were going berserk in the Senate Judiciary Committees. There is nothing you're going to be able to do to keep the Democrats from going berserk. It's nothing you can do. They're going to wail and moan no matter what you do. So make your decision clear-headed, being open. Being clear-headed, having the resolve to conduct yourself with the utmost integrity and responsibility, but do the job that the people of America sent you to the United States Senate to accomplish. One more piece of audio I want to play. I was surprised to hear this from that wonderful beacon of logic and reasonable consideration, not MSNBC, World Morning Joe. They had this interesting exchange. If you would, please play clip number three.
It's very cynical of Democrats, for Democratic staffers, most likely from the Judiciary Committee, to release this against her will, just like Democratic staffers released Anita Hill's information against Anita Hill's will. But then for Democrats, and I saw this, respected Democrats saying, oh, these Republicans have set this poor woman up to walk through a gauntlet on Monday. No. Actually, Republicans, everybody was screaming at the Republican Party 24 hours ago that they needed to give her a hearing.
Yeah. Nobody wants to be on the wrong side of this. So everyone said, let her speak. Let her testify. Give her a moment to have her voice. Let's hear her story. I think she even said she would testify. So I guess some could argue, and some Republicans could argue, this is moving the goalpost. And it's moving the goalpost in an impossible direction, because every legal analyst we have had on the show, you read, you're a lawyer, you know the law, there's no way of finding out what happened in high school. There are statutes of limitations for a reason. So we need to hear from her. And that's why everybody is open to hearing from a woman. But if she doesn't want to speak, if she doesn't want to testify, you have to wonder what the Republicans really are supposed to do except demand a vote.
That's exactly right. Mark this day down. I am saying something spouted by Morning Joe is exactly right. But they're right in that. If she won't testify, what are they supposed to do? Oh, I know. Hold a never-ending investigation like the Mueller investigation into a never-existing crime, and to keep that thing open until you have a Democrat president to fill the vacancy of the Supreme Court. Did I just say that out loud? Yes, I did. To the phone lines we go. First to Tennessee, where Chris is on the line. Chris, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Thank you for taking my call, Mr. Hamilton. I want to make three quick points because I know you've got a lot of callers. Number one, Todd Starnes is exactly correct. This is the kind of thing that you see in a kangaroo court or a banana republic. This is absolutely ridiculous. Number two, if the Republicans allow this to go on and they allow this kind of behavior to go on that committee, I just want to say to the Republicans, okay, first of all, there's nowhere in the Constitution that says that you can set up your own court system within a judiciary committee, okay? This man has not been charged with a crime. There is nothing that has been brought forth as evidence of any kind of a crime. And for you to go along with the Democrats makes you look like morons, absolute morons, okay? And number three, I would like to know why Dianne Feinstein is not being brought up on ethics charges concerning throwing away the rules of the committee. She knew what the rules were. She knew what the procedures were. And if this were to take place, she should have done it last week, or she should have done it within the set times of those rules. For her to do this is absolutely absurd, and I think Dianne Feinstein needs to answer for what she has done, but most of all, I think she needs to be taken off of that committee.
Thank you, Chris. I'm sorry. I have to go to the next call. You make some great points. I don't have time to respond to each and every one of them, but the bottom line is that the Democrats expect fecklessness from Republicans, so who cares what the rules are? Who cares what the expectations are? And I will add this in, that the Constitution requires the Senate to offer advice and consent. There's nothing in the Constitution that requires them to have even a judiciary committee vote. There's nothing that requires that. That's the route that the Senate has chosen to pursue, but there's nothing in the Constitution that requires it. They could immediately send this thing for the entire 100 U.S. senators to vote and get on with the process right now, because the facts are every single one of the senators know right now how they're going to vote on Judge Kavanaugh. They knew it on August 9th when he was named as the appointee. We'll go next to the great state of Texas, where Charles is on the line. Charles, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Thanks, Abe. Hey, real quick, you know, watching this fiasco, man, it's like watching a bad cartoon. I watched how they destroyed Roy Moore, mm-hmm. and now I'm on the verge of saying, wow, it's going to happen. But what we have to do is we have to pray this thing on through. It might look like things are not going our way, but we got to band together. AFRs have been praying, me pray every day. We got to pray this thing all the way through. And just keep the faith and know that, hey, we're fighting a winnable war. Thanks, Abe.
Amen. Thank you, Charles, for your call and your comments. We go back now to the great state of Texas, where Dwight is on the line. Dwight, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
No problem, sir. Thank you for taking my call. You know, this is always delayed, just like you said. She may come up Tuesday, send a message, oh, I'll talk to you next week. But what are they going to do if the votes don't go their way? What are they going to pull then if they don't, you know, don't get this blue wave? That's it, sir.
Great point, Dwight. Great call. Great question. They are putting all of their eggs in a basket where they're hoping and praying for this blue wave. But again, this is another iteration. It appears to me, based on all the facts that we have at this point, that this is nothing more than a delay tactic. We go next to Arkansas, where Brett is on the line. Brett, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Howdy, sir. I was just calling about some things the first caller called about, saying that I think that there ought to be some charges against Dianne Feinstein. There's got to be some kind of rules in Congress about, like, withholding evidence. She withheld it all the way through this, all the vetting of the Congress and the obstruction of justice and the tampering. And really, this is tampering with the judicial process, with them waiting to the last minute to let this be known.
All right, Brett, thank you for your call and your comments. Let me say this. It wouldn't be evidence because all she had was accusations. So it's not necessarily an evidence, but it is an allegation. Now, the response to that wouldn't necessarily be any type of formal criminal charges, but at a minimum, the Senate should take into consideration the untimeliness of the disclosure and respond accordingly. Senator Grassley has chosen to allow Monday for testimony and then to continue the hearings, is what he said, on Tuesday. But the hearings had already ended. In my opinion, he should vote tomorrow. Tomorrow. Anything else is going to give, frankly, the opportunity for something else to be cooked up between now and Tuesday. And he's only said that they'll open the hearing on Tuesday. Vote tomorrow. If you're not going to vote tomorrow, at a minimum, say we will vote on Tuesday. But I think he's saying that to try to leave room for her, if she does testify, for them to be able to do some things differently. But I would suggest that the deadline should be imposed because the committee is not responsible for Dianne Feinstein's late disclosure of these allegations. That's DiFi's fault. Now, if Dr. Ford wants to be heard, the opportunity is being provided. To date, she said she's not testifying. So what should the Republicans do about that? Back to the phone lines we go, next to the great state of Texas, where Sandy is on the line. Sandy, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. I enjoy listening to your program so much, and everything you say is so right. But that last clip you played, I think, answered my questions, because I thought there was a statute of limitations on sexual harassment and stuff like that. So is that true or not?
No, that is absolutely true, Sandy. And so the allegations are that this took place in Maryland. In Maryland, different states have different statutory frameworks for their statute of limitations, but there are no states that would allow accusations as those lobbied against Brett Kavanaugh to have a 40-year statute of limitation. The statute of limitations have long run in this particular instance, which is why there is no potential for any type of criminal charge to be filed or offered at all. That is not even an option. The only thing on the table is whether or not she'll testify before the Senate, either in a private closed-door session, in a session where Senator Grassley sends his people out to California to interview her. The only remedy for her, it's not even a remedy, the only opportunity available to her would be political. And I think the fact that she's unwilling to come in to testify is evidence that this, folks, is nothing more than a delay tactic. Nothing more than a delay tactic. I know we have some callers holding. I'm sure you can hear the disrespectful tunes that I'm hearing in my ear right now, which is an indication that we have come toward the end of the show. If that wasn't enough for you, I got a little bit of more bad news for you. Spartacus Booker has announced that he is officially considering a run for president in 2020. The world can rest safely now knowing that Spartacus Booker says it will be less than responsible for him not to even consider running against Donald Trump in 2020. Sir, your integrity is called into question, sir, and I hope you understand that I hope to win.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.